Okay, so we're going to start now from the bottom of 32a, the last two words, and we're going to continue discussing the machlokas, the Tanakhama, and Reb Shimon with regard to the mitzvah of prika. But really the focus or the goal of this sugya now for the next page is a discussion about tsar balei chayim, whether or not causing unnecessary pain to an animal is mandated by Torah law or only rabbinic law. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Medivrei Shnehem, from the words of both of them, from the words of both the Tanakhama and the Rabbanan, Nilmad, we can learn that Tsar Bali Chayim, pain of animals, is Doraisa, is mandated by the Torah. So Rashi explains, Medivrei Shnehem, from the fact that both of them said, both the Tanakham and the Rav Shimon, both said prika adifa, that unloading is adifa, better, or more compelling. Meaning that both the Tanakham and Rav Shimon, they both said in the previous sugya, that if the Torah would not have written prika, we'd have known it by kal v'chomer from Te'ina, because if Te'ina is obligatory, then certainly Prika is obligatory. We said the reason was because Prika has Tzar Balei Chaim, so if the Torah would not have written Prika, we would certainly have known it from Te'ina, where there's no Tzar Balei Chaim. Now this really is, then, the proof that Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa. Because what are we saying? We're saying that if the Torah would not have written Prika, we would have known it for a Kal V'chomer from Te'ina. And what's the Kal V'chomer? The Kal V'chomer is that if there's no Tzar Balei Chaim by Te'ina, and yet you're mechuyev to do that mitzvah, then you're certainly obligated to do prika where there is Tzar Balei Chaim. So Tzar Balei Chaim is the basis of the Kal V'chomer, which could have, in logic, generated a Torah law of prika. So that's an indication that Tzar Balei Chaim is derisive, it's a derisive concept. It's only for a side reason, for the other reasons which the Gemara said before, why the Torah nonetheless wrote Prika, but in logic, strictly speaking, Prika could have been understood logically through the Kal V'chomer. And we would have said the Prika is a Deraisa Halacha, Deraisa Din, based upon Tzar Balei Chaim. So Tzar Balei Chaim sounds like it's a Deraisa idea. We'll see this expressed more fully as the Gemara goes on. So back to the Gemara says, Vafilu Rav Shimon, Lo ka'amar elimishum dolo masayim bekroy. And even Rav Shimon didn't say what? Rashi says, Lo ka'amar, if you Rav Shimon, Lo ka'amar, the itzrich lemichtav prika, that it's necessary to write prika. Even Rav Shimon didn't say that it's necessary for the Torah to write prika. Elimishum, except because dolo masayim bekroy, because the verses were not conclusive. Rashi says, the verses are not conclusive to in terms of what which one is for Te'ina, which one is for Te'ina or not. So, Aval, Gemara says, Aval Masai Mekroi, but if the verses were conclusive, if the Psukim were conclusive, so then even he would agree that Darshinon Kal V'chomer, we would have expounded a Kal V'chomer from Te'ina to Prika. We would have expounded the Kal V'chomer. So says the Gemara, Mishum Mai, because of what? On what basis is the Kal V'chomer darshaned? Well, it says, Lab Mishum Tzar Balei Chaim darshinon. Is it not because of Tzar Balei Chaim that we would darshan? Meaning that if you're obligated to do Te'ina where there's no Tzar Balei Chaim, then you're suddenly obligated to Deraisa, to do prika, where there is Tzar Balei Chaim. So Tzar Balei Chaim is the driving force of the biblical obligation of prika, so that indicates that Tzar Balei Chaim is a deraisa principle. Rashi says, Lav mishum Tzar Balei Chaim, is it not because of Tzar Balei Chaim? V'hoch yolef. This is what we learn, this is what is learned. Yolef is to learn. Ma te'ina. If te'ina delaka Tzar Balei Chaim, that there's no Tzar Balei Chaim, Chayov, one is obligated prika. So prika, the ikat tzabalechayim, that there is tzabalechayim, lo kol shekein, is it not all the musa? So then the Gemara says, maybe not. The Gemara rejects this and says, maybe not. Dilma, perhaps, mishum de ikat chesron kis. Perhaps because there is chesron kis, a loss of money. Maybe the driving force of prika in the kal v'chomer is not because of tzar b'alechayim, maybe it's because of chesron kis, because of loss of money to the owner. V'hochi kamar, and this is what the kal v'chomer would be saying. V'hochi kamar, this is what it would be saying. U'ma t'ino, and if t'ino, the lesbo chesron kis, that there is not in it loss of money, chayov, one is obligated, prika. So prika, the isba, chesron kis, that there is in it, chesron kis, loss of money, lo kol shekein. Is it not all the more so? So maybe tzar b'alechayim is not the main factor for the kal v'chomer, because of chesron kis, the loss of money to the owner by not helping the owner to unload the packages. It's causing a loss to the, it's causing, as we learned earlier, it's causing injury to the animal. And that's a loss of money to the animal, not because of the tzar b'alechayim, the pain caused the animal. It's the chesron kis caused to the owner because of the injury of the animal. Maybe that's the driving force of the kal v'chomer. It wouldn't be indicative that tzar b'alechayim is deraisa. So the Gemara says, the Gemara rejects this and says, v'ti'ina ein bo chisaron kis. So the Gemara is saying, you're telling me that the kal v'chomer is because there's no chesron kis by ti'ina. And there is by prika, and that's the kal v'chomer. But te'ina ein bo chesron kis, and te'ina there is not any chesron kis. Mila askinan, are we not dealing with the adahochi v'hochi means in the meantime. I'm not going to translate this literally, it's an expression, adahochi v'hochi, in the meantime. Mila askinan, the adahochi v'hochi, that in the meantime, Batil Meshukya. The owner is now idle from the shuk, from the marketplace. Meaning that if this animal has now lost all its packages, they're strewn all over the place. So as a result of that, the owner can't continue moving on to do his work, to do his business. And there's necessarily a chesron kis, loss of money, in that experience. Or inami, the Gemara says, asu ganve v'shakle, kol ma de'ikat b'hadei. Alternatively, asu ganve, thieves could come v'shakle and take kol ma de'ikat b'hadei, all that there is, b'hadei with it. So kol ma, all what, de that. Ika, there is, bahadei, with it, alongside of the animal. So Rashi says, milu askinon, are we not dealing with? Rashi says, v'chi ein hamikra medaber, and is not the verse speaking, af baholech l'sukhora, even with regard to somebody who's going to do business, da'adahochi, that in the meantime, batal meshukya, he will be idle from shukya, that's shuk, from the marketplace. So to say that there's no chesron kis by te'ina, and then make a kal v'chomer out of that and say that just if you're obligated to do te'ina and you're suddenly obligated to do a trik where there is chesron kis, is just not founded upon facts, because there's chesron kis also by te'ina. So therefore, what is the basis of the kal v'chomer? Must be because of tzar b'alei chayim. That's the basis of the kal v'chomer, tzar b'alei chayim. And again, this is the proof that tzar b'alei chayim would be deraisa. Brings a further proof for this and says, teda, no. You can know that tzar b'alei chayim deraisa, that tzar b'alei chayim is deraisa. The katani that we learned in the Mishnah, Sefer, that we learned in the Sefer of the Mishnah, that it says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, im hoya olav yosa al maso, if there was upon it, more than its burden. We said that if the animal was carrying too heavy of a package, too much for the animal to bear, ein zokuklo, one is not bound to it. Rabbi Yosi clearly says that if it's carrying too heavy of a burden, then the bystander is not obligated to do the mitzvah prika. Shnema, as it says in the verse, tachas maso, underneath its burden. So that implies masoi, a burden, shiochel lamed bo, a burden that it's able to stand up with it. That's the only time there's an obligation, according to Yosi clearly. So the Gemara says, Lav, is it not, Mechlal, that from inference, the Tanakama, Sova, that the Tanakama is of the opinion, Zokoklo, that nonetheless the owner is still obligated, is still bound to it. That implies that the Tanakama, now the Tanakama here is not just the Rabbonim, it's also Reb Shimon as well. The Tanakama, the Rabbonim and Reb Shimon, who are the Tanakama to Reb Yosi Galili, it implies that they both hold that there's still an obligation to do Prika, even with an animal holding packages which are too heavy for the animal to bear. Now, my time, what's the reason? What would be the reason for that? Lav, is it not mishum de tzah balechaim deraisa? Perhaps because tzah balechaim is deraisa. Is it not because tzah balechaim is deraisa? That's the reason why there's an obligation. So let's see Rashi on this. A few Rashis here. Teda, you can know that Rabbanan de pligei later Shimon, that according to Rabbanan that argue on Aleha on the Reb Shimon, that of Reb Shimon, Ule Reb Shimon, and according to Reb Shimon, Tzah Balechaim Deraisa, that Tzah Balechaim is Deraisa. The reason is because we said that the Tanakama, Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon were both holding there is a mitzvah to do to Prika in this situation. Rashi says, Mechlal the Tanakama, from inference, it is that the Tanakama, the Reb Yosi Aglili of Reb Yosi Aglili, namely, Rabban and Reb Shimon, the Rabban and Reb Shimon, like I said before, Zokoklo, one is bound to it, according to them, one is bound to do the mitzvah, V'amai, and why, V'amai Zokoklo, and why is he bound to it? Imishum mitzvah's Azov Tazov, if because of this mitzvah of help you shall help, which is the mitzvah of Prika, Hakasiv Maso, Haroilo, it says in the verse, a Masui, which is a burden which is fitting for it. That was Rabbi Yosi Aglili's argument. It has to be a burden which is appropriate for the animal. So why is this still an obligation? Ella, rather, mishum, because tzah balechayim. Because it's tzah balechayim. That's what they are holding. So that's the proof. The Gemara says, the Gemara rejects this and says, no, dilma perhaps, betachas masoi, maso, betachas masoi peligei. Maybe they're just arguing about Maybe they're not arguing about whether there's an obligation, but rather tachas maso plegi, the definition of the phrase underneath its burden. They're arguing. The Rabbi Yosi Savar that he holds. Rabbi Yosi Savar is of the opinion darshin and tachas maso as masui shioch lamed bo. He darshins the expression tachas maso underneath its burden to mean, as we said, masui shioch lamed bo, a burden that is able to stand up with it. Rabbanan Savrei, and the Rabbanan are of the opinion, lo darshin and tachas maso. There's nothing to darshin from that expression, meaning that the mitzvah of prika applies in all sorts of situations, even with a burden which is much bigger as well. Rashi says, lo darshin and maso, they don't darshin maso, the maso royalo for a burden which is appropriate for it, the maso, kol masa shalav mash, because maso, its burden, implies every masa, every burden shalav that is upon it, mashmir it implies. So meaning that the Rabbanan just say that any burden has to be, you have to help the owner left to take any burden off the back of the animal, no matter how heavy it is. And basically he says no, there is it's only a burden which is appropriate for it to carry. Whereas before, the Havamin of the Gemara was, is that the Ravonin would also darshan that and say that there's technically no mitzvah of, sorry, they would agree technically that there is no mitzvah because it's carrying a burden too heavy for it to bear, but nonetheless, you should help anyway because of the Tzah Balechayim. In other words, the mitzvah prika wouldn't be applicable, right? The mitzvah prika wouldn't be applicable here. But the mitzvah, the chiyuv of tzah balechayim would be applicable. That was the havamina, and the Gemara is now saying no, there is the tzah balechayim is not even a factor. It's purely the mitzvah of prika, and Tana Kama holds that there's mitzvah prika no matter how big the burden is, and the Rebbe Sigal says the mitzvah prika is only if the burden is able to be held by the animal. Now, according to this, that the Rabbanan now hold that it's labdarais. So the Gemara says, Teda, no, Tzab Alechaim labdaraisa. No, that Tzab Alechaim is not deraisa. I'll bring you a proof that Tzab Alechaim is not deraisa. The Katani that we learned in the Mishnah, in the Reisha, the Katani Reisha that we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, Holach v'yoshev lo. If the owner went, the Yoshev lo, and sat by it, sat next to the animal, v'amar lo, and said to him, said to the bystander, Hoil v'alecha mitzvah lifrok, since upon you there's a mitzvah to unload, prok, unload it. So the Mishnah says, potter. The bystander does not have to do it, shnem, as it says in the pasuk, imo, along with him. So the Gemara says, "V'is al kadai toch tzab alechaim deraisa." And if you, it goes up into your mind that tzab alechaim is deraisa, "Mali isay lemori bahadei, u'mali ki leisamori lebat lemori bahadei." Mali, what to me, or what difference does it make to me? Isay, it is lemori, its owner, bahadei, with him, along with him. Who cares if the owner is with him? Umali, and what to me, what difference does it make to me? Ki leise, when it's not lemore, its owner, bahadei, along with him. In other words, if tzab alechaim is deraisa, why do I care if the owner is helping you or not helping you? The mitzvah stands by itself, regardless of the owner's helping you. I'll read it again. Mali isa lemore bahadei, what difference does it make to me if the owner is along with him? Umali kileis lemore bahadei. What difference does it make to me if the owner is not, its owner is not with him, with the bystander? And Rashi says over here, v'teda and no, the hachi hu that this is so. It's so it is. K'dedachina loch, like that which we which was pushed off to you. Dachina is to push off. Kedachina loch, like that which was pushed off to you earlier, the tzab alechayim, lav deraisa, the tzab alechayim is not deraisa. This is the proof here that what we just said earlier, when we pushed off the notion that it's deraisa, we said it's not deraisa. This is the proof now that it's not deraisa. So this is the proof. But then the Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. The Gemara says, le'olam, in reality, tzab alechaim deraisa. In reality, you could argue that tzab alechaim is deraisa. However, when the Mishnah says that you're potter if the owner is not helping you, the Gemara says, mi sovrat, potter legamre. Mi is a question mark. Sovrat, do you hold? Do you hold potter means potter legamre, exempt completely, legamre completely? Dilma, perhaps, potter bechina, perhaps, you're only potter to do it for free. V'chayiv b'schar, however, you're obligated, and chayiv, you're obligated to do it b'schar for payment. And it's when actually, what I was going to say, v'hochikoma, and this is what the Mishnah means to say, or v'hochikoma rachmona, and this is what the Merciful One means to say, the Torah means to say, ki yisei lemore ba'adei, when its owner is with him, with the bystander helping out, so avad gabe, then he should work with him. He should work gabe also means with him. Bahadei means more alongside of him, and avad gabe, work with him, bechinam for free. The word gabe has more of a meaning of on top of him, but really, you know, colloquially, they both mean with him. But hadei means more alongside of him, and gabe means with him. Okay, so when the owner's alongside of him, ovid gabe, he has to work with him, bechinam for free, v'chileis lemore bahadei. And when the owner's not with him, not alongside of him, ovid gabe b'schar, he should work with him, b'schar, with payment. Ula olam. And in reality, though, Tzar Balei Chayim is the Raisa. And Rashi says, Ovad or Ovid Gabei, work with him, Mishum Tzar Balei Chayim, because of Tzar Balei Chayim, Val Korcho Yitl Schar. And against his will, he may take payment for doing this assistance for the owner. So the next, then the Gemara says, these brackets over here, it's a simon. Now, this, sometimes the Gemara does this, it will present a mnemonic as a way to remember what the Gemara is going to say next. So it says, simon, behemos, behemos, ohev, sone, ravtson. So, I don't know why they put apostrophes in there, but anyway, the simon of the mnemonic for the upcoming Gemara is behemos, which means animal. Animal, animal, ohev, friend, sone, enemy, and ravtson is lying down. So we'll see, these are going to be the sugyas coming up right now, still continuing with the theme of Tzar Balei Chayim. So the Gemara says, Lema, Messiah, behemos, ovid kechavim, betapel ba, kebehemos Yisrael. So let us say, one could say, that Messiah lay, that the following Brisa aids him. Literally, Messiah lay aids him, assists him. Who's the him? So Rashi says, lay Messiah lay. Let us say, or one could say, Messiah lay. Rashi says, l'rova. The following Brisa, the word Brisa is not mentioned in the sentence, but it's implied. The following Brisa is an aid l'rava, to Rava, to Amma, who said l'el earlier, Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa. The Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa, Rava was the one who opened up the discussion, who said Tzar Balei Chayim is d'Raisa. So we're saying that one could say that the following Brisa will be an aid, a support for Rava who said that. What's the Brisa? The Gemara continues, Behemus Ovid Kechavim. If you have the animal of an Ovid Kechavim, of an idolater, so metapel ba, one has to deal with it. Metapel means to tend to it. The one should tend to it, kebehemis Yisrael, like the animal of a Jew. It doesn't make a difference if it's an idolater's animal or a Jew's animal. Rashi says metapel ba lifrik masa, to unload its burden. So the Gemara says, "I omrat bishlama Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa." If you say it makes sense, it was really, we said this before, bishlama, it means it makes sense, so you have to put that at the beginning. So it makes sense if you say Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa. "I omrat bishlama." If you say bishlama, it makes sense. It's peaceful, literally. Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa. Tzar Balei Chayim d'Raisa. Mishum hachi. For this reason, because of this, metapelbok behemis Yisrael, you have to tend to it like the animal of a fellow Jew, because again, it doesn't make a difference who the animal belongs to. The animal has its own Tzar Balei Chayim. Eliyomra, but if you say that Tzar Balei Chayim is lav deraisa, the Tzar Balei Chayim is not deraisa, am I metapelbok behemis Yisrael? Why should one be tending to it like the animal of a Jew? In other words, we shouldn't be necessarily tending to it because it belongs to an idolater. So why would you give equal footing to the animal of an idolater, to the animal of a Jew, if there's no Tzar Balei Chayim? Must be the Tzar Balei Chayim over here, and that's the factor at play. The Gemara says no. Hossam there, the reason there why you have to tend to the animal of an idolater is because of Eva. Eva means enmity. Because of enmity, meaning that because of the fear of enmity, which could result as a result of distinguishing between the animals of a Jew and animals of an idolater, that's why the Chacham said, go ahead and do it anyway, even though really need not do it, but for the sake of enmity and safety of the Jewish community, you should do it nonetheless. And the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. And this makes sense. Hachinami, this also is Mistabra, is logical. The Katani that we learned in that same brisa, im haisa tu'una yayin, if the animal was laden with wine, sorry, yayin osa, with forbidden wine, im haisa tu'una yayin osa, if it was laden with forbidden wine, ein zokakla, then one is not bound to it, then you don't have to do it. Now, i omrat, If you say Bishlam, it makes sense. Lab deraisa, it makes sense if you say it's not deraisa. Mishum hachi ein zakukla, because of this, you're not obligated to it. You're not bound to it. So it makes, you see, if that sabach is not deraisa, then it makes sense that you're not bound to it. So Rashi says, Iomret lav deraisa, the time of Mishum Eva, and the reason why we said you'd be obligated is because of Eva of enmity. Who? Mishum hachi, because of this, ein zakukla. Because of that, because of this, you're not bound to it. Because in this situation, when it's laden with forbidden wine, shi'ochel hishamei, that one is able now to avoid it, to avoid the chiyuv or the involvement. For Loman say davi isalanu, this is a forbidden thing to us. So if you have an outside factor which would get you off the hook from helping him, then you're okay. Then you don't have to do it. The enmity factor only applies when, you know, the animal of the Jew, the animal of the non-Jew, of the idolater, are both carrying, you know, regular packages. So you can't distinguish one over the one between the other. You have to help both animals, help both owners. But if the owner of the idolater's animal is carrying forbidden wine, then at least then you have an excuse not to do it. And you can say, well, this, I can't really deal with this wine. It's forbidden wine to us. We're forbidden under religious law. That doesn't create enmity. So if you say that Tzar Balechem is not deraisa. The Gemara says though, Ali Omrep deraisa, but if you say it's deraisa, and my ain zokuklo, why would you not be obliged, would not be bound to it? The Braisa says, if it's forbidden, why? You don't have to do it. Why not? If it's Tzar Balechem is deraisa. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. You can still understand it, that it's not deraisa, and still you're not bound to it. Why? Because hachikama, this is what the braisa really means to say. Ula hatina yayin asa ein zakukla. Not that if it was laden with forbidden wine, but rather, and to laden it with forbidden wine, ein zakukla, one is not bound to it. So, lahatina means to load it up with forbidden wine, ein zakukla, one is not bound to it. As Rashi explains, hachi ka'ama latina, this what means to say, and to load it, ula olam, and in reality, deraisa. It's deraisa. Veresha, and the beginning, veresha tana, the beginning the tana taught, the braisa taught, metapalba, tend to it. Bein paprika, bein patina, regardless of whether with prika, with unloading, or with tina of loading. And prika, meaning prika mishum tzar balechaim, prika the obligation of prika because of tzar balechaim. But tina, and tina, the loading would be mishum eva, because of eva. Well, the hatina, but then the braisa continues, and to load it, to laden it with yayin asa, the lad tzar balechaim, tzar ika, that, there's no tsar there. There's no tsar ikka. There's no tsar. No tsar there is ikka. There is no tsar. For lav eva ikka, and no enmity there is ein zokukla. Then there's no obligation to be involved in it. You're not bound to do it. You don't have to do it. So the Gemara continues and says, Toshema, come in here. Behemas ovid kochavim, the masoi Yisrael. Raisa speaks of a case of an animal which belongs to a idolater, Ovid Kochavim, a star worshipper, Umaswi Yisrael, and the burden which it's carrying on its back belongs to a Jew. The Braisa says, V'chadalta, and you may refrain. This is a quote from the Pasuk. In my Gemara, it's quoted on the side. I'll read the Pasuk. It says, Kisira chamor sonacha, when you see the donkey of your enemy, Rovet tachas maso, crouching underneath its burden, v'chodalta, and you will refrain, ma'azov lo, from helping him? Surely not, azov ta'azov imo, help, you shall help with him. That's the pasuk, we've seen that pasuk before. What the Bryce is doing here is this, is picking out the word v'chodalta by itself, and using it, for this halacha over here. The Pasuk, as you can see, understands v'chadalta and you will refrain, and understands it in a rhetorical form, and you will refrain from helping. However, the Mefarshim explain that because it says it, because the word v'chadalta, by itself, means you will refrain in a more statement kind of way, we have the right to darshan it that way and apply it in the example like this. So again, I'll read it again. Behemus oved kochavim, the animal of an akum is the abbreviation for idolater. The animal of an idolater, masvi Yisrael, and a burden belonging to a Jew, the chadalta, and you may refrain. You're allowed to refrain from helping. What the Bryce is stating is that there's no obligation to help with the unloading, of this burden from the animal's back, because it says v'chadalta. Now, let's just see if there's a Rashi over here. Let's see, Rashi says, no. Okay. Okay, fine. So asks the So what the Bryce is saying is that there's no obligation to do prika, to unload this load off the animal's back, because the animal belongs to an idolater. So says the Gemara, Ve'i omrat tza balechayim deraisa. And if you say that tza balechayim is deraisa, so amai v'chadalta, why do you have this permission to refrain? Why v'chadalta, why refrain? Azov ta'azov miboyele, help you shall help, it is necessary for him, for the bystander. Who cares if the animal belongs to a idolater or not? The animal has its own deservance, because it's tzar balei chayim, to be helped, to be relieved of its pain and discomfort of the load weighing down on its back. You should help for that reason, regardless of the animal belonging to the akum or not. Akum is the abbreviation for oved kochavim, an idol worshipper. So the Gemara uses this as a proof to tell you that it must be the reason why the reason why you don't have to help is because tzar balei chayim is not deraisa. It's not deraisa. This is the proof. This is the tashma that tzar balei chayim is not deraisa, because otherwise you'd have to help this animal have the burden loaded unloaded off its back. The Gemara responds and says, no, you can't bring a proof from here. La'olam, in reality, tzar balei chayim deraisa. I could say that tzar balei chayim is deraisa. So, and the reason why there's no obligation over here in this brisa is because Hossam there, in that brisa, but te'ina, the brisa is not talking about prika, it's not talking about unloading, it's talking about the mitzvah of te'ina, of loading, of helping to load up, a load back onto the animal. That's what the brisa is talking about, the Gemara is saying. In other words, it says, behemus over kochavim, masvi Yisrael, the animal belongs to a idolater, and the load belongs to a Jew. The load is laying on the street, it's already come off. And the Bryce is then telling you that the chadalta, you can refer, there's no obligation of putting the load back onto the animal's back, which belongs to a idolater. So there's no tzar balei chayim, the point is. There's no tzar balei chayim involved in this issue over here. Now, Rashi says, which may be a question which you are asking yourself, Rashi says right away, Hossam the te'ina over there, the Bryce is talking about te'ina. So Rashi says, Lekamei, further on, later on, Parich, the Gemara will ask, Ha, but Prika k'siv, behold, about Prika it's written. In other words, this Pasuk of the Chadalta, as I read to you before, is in the Pasuk of Prika. So how can the Gemara say now that we're talking about te'ina, loading? It's clearly written in the parsha on the pasuk of Prika. So wait for that question. The Gemara will discuss that in a few minutes. In the meantime, the Gemara is saying that it's talking about te'ina, and there's no tzar balei chayim, and that's the reason why there's no obligation to help. So persists the Gemara though and says, "Ihachi is so. If the Bryce is talking about te'ina, ema seifa, I will say the seifa. I will quote to you the end of that same Bryce, which says." Behemoth Yisrael, the animal belongs to now a Jew, umosui over kochavim, the load belongs to a idolater. It's in reverse. And here the Braisa says, azov to azov, here you have to help. You have to help load the load back onto the animal's back. So the Gemara says, v'ibati'ina, and if it's true that this brayso is talking about teina, loading, and my azov tazov. Why do you have to help there either as well? Why, you know, is the load belongs to a Ovid Kochavim, and the animal belongs to a Jew? Why do you need to help? As long as there's an Ovid Kochavim involved in the equation, there should be no obligation to help. And as long as there's no Tzab Alechayim, then no obligation to help. So what difference does it make if the animal belongs to a Jew, or the animal belongs to an Ovid Kochavim, or the load belongs to a Jew, or the load belongs to an Ovid Kochavim? There should be no obligation to help. The Gemara quickly responds to that claim, or that challenge, and says, the reason in the Sefer why there you do have to help is Mishum Tzara de Yisrael, because of the pain and discomfort of the Jew. The Jew who needs to wait. The Jew, the animal belongs to a Jew, and you have to, and now not helping to put the load back onto the animal's back is going to cause frustration to the Yisrael. Rashi says, Mishum Tzar de Yisrael, because of the frustration and pain caused to the Yisrael owner of the animal, Shetzarech Lahashay Sham, that he needs to wait over there for someone to put the load back on his animal's back and to continue on. So the obvious question is, as the Gemara says, Ihachi so afila Reisha Nami. Even the Reisha also, the beginning of the Braisha also. The first case where the animal belongs to an Akum, and the load belongs to a Yisrael. The Yisrael who owns the load is now going to be frustrated because no one's helping him put the load back on the animal's back. Moses says no, because Reisha Bechamar Ovid Kochavim and Sefer Bechamar Yisrael. The case of the Braisa is that the only people who are accompanying anything is just the driver. The driver of the animal. The only people here in the story are the drivers of the animal. We're talking in the Reisha of a Chamar, the driver who's Ovid Kochavim, who's an idolater. And the Sefer, the end of the Braisa, is the Chamar, we're discussing a driver, the base prefix is on or with, etc. Chamar is the word. Is the driver, is a Jewish driver. So where there's frustration caused to a Jew, the Jewish driver, so then you have an obligation to help, regardless if this load which is laying on the road belongs to an Akum. But if the driver of the animal is an Akum himself, even if the load belongs to a Jew, but since the owner of the load is not presumed to be present, then there's no obligation to help. So the Gemara says, "My poskas," which means literally, "What is my poskas?" Is what did you? The word poskas, posak is to be is posak is a psak ruling, or definitiveness. So you could say this means, what is your definitiveness? How are you so sure that that's the situation? Which is an interesting question. Why do you assume this? Why do you assume that that's the case? We'll see. Rashi will discuss this in a second, but I'll read the Gemara. Stoma de Milsa, the Gemara answers, Stoma de Milsa Inish Basa Chamri Ozel. The Stoma de Milsa, which means the general, the stam, the plain circumstance, the plain reality, the Milsa of the situation, of the matter, the plain situation, the general rule, you could say better, is that Inish Basa Chamri Ozel, a person after his rider, after his donkey. Chamor is a donkey. You see, a chamar we saw before is the donkey driver. Chamor, chesmem vavresh, chamor is the donkey. So chamre is his donkey. So Inish, a person, basa after his donkey ozel goes. Person goes after his donkey. So what the Gemara is saying is that the owner is always going to be with the animal. So you can assume that an animal always has the owner with it, leading it along in the road. But not that wouldn't be true by the burden. Let's look at Rashi now. Rashi says Bachamar Ovid Kochavim. We're discussing a driver who's an Akum, Ve'in Bal Hamasa Shom, and the owner of the load is not sham, is not there. Va'ala uve kechovim liton, and it's upon the Akum to load it back on. He's doing the work, the job of putting the animal, the load back onto the animal. He's the only person present in the story. And therefore, if he's the only one there, there's no obligation to help this idolater. My poskas, what is your assumption? We said before, v'ki poskas hadova kein, the call behemas over kachovim have chamar over kachovim. And the kiposka sadova, and is the matter conclusive? Psak is a ruling, is a conclusion. And is the matter conclusive to you? Kain, so. The kol behemes over kechovim, that every animal belonging to a idolater have a chamar over kechovim. The donkey driver, the rider, the driver himself would also be an over kechovim. For Kol Behemes Yisrael, and every animal belonging to a Jew, have a Chamar Yisrael, the driver would be Jewish. Is that so conclusive to you? What is your assumption that that should be the case? And as we said, the Gemara says that's the Stamba de Milsa, that's the general rule, that's the case that drivers go along with their animals. But now the Gemara asks the question which we raised before, which Rashi brought up, and that is that we've been explaining this all on the basis that the case of the Braisa is regarding Te'ina, loading. But the Gemara says, V'chadalta, behold, V'chadalta. V'chadalta, V'azov ta'azov, B'prikahu, D'ksive. The pasuk of V'chadalta, refraining and helping, is not about Te'ina, it's B'prikahu, D'ksive. It's regarding Prika, unloading, that they are written. So how can you justify this whole explanation if the pasuk is if the pasuk is talking about prika, not tina? The Quran says, now the next two words or the next abbreviation says amalei, but the notations on the side take out that and replace it with Allah, rather hot money. Behold, who is the author of the Braisa? Money means who's the author of the Braisa? Rabbi Yossi HaGlilihi. It's Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Da'ama that said, who said, Tzah Balei Chayim is Lav Deraisa. The Tzah Balei Chayim is not Deraisa. The Gemara said earlier that in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah, if you look back at the Mishnah, just to remind ourselves, the Mishnah said that if the person had loaded the animal up with a burden which it couldn't carry, an overly heavy burden, Rabbi Yossi Gli says, if it's too heavy, ain zokoklo, there's no obligation to do it, to help the person. And with the Gemara said earlier that Rabbi Yossi Gli indeed holds that Tzah Balei Chayim is not deraisa. So the Gemara is saying over here that this is what this Braisa is talking about. The Braisa is talking about the mitzvah of prika, according to Rabbi Yossi Gli. And there's no obligation to help if it belongs to the animal belongs to a over kechavim, because Tzah Balei Chayim is not deraisa. So that's the Gemara's answer. The question I had is that the challenge or the question on this braisa, that it's surely talking about prika, is so obvious and so it's so obvious. Why did the Gemara even entertain the havamina that the braisa is talking about te'ina? And even go through this rather, you know, not long, but you know, an extensive explanation to substantiate that it's talking about te'ina, where it's so clear that the pasuk is talking about prika. How what's the havamina that the braisa could have been speaking about te'ina? So I don't know the answer to that. Okay. So Toshima, come in here. Another proof. The Gemara is now going to bring another proof that says that the Tzah Balei Chayim is not deraisa. The case is Ohev Lifrok Vasone Lito. You have a situation where you have a choice of two mitzvahs to perform, either the mitzvah prika or the mitzvah te'ina. The mitzvah prika is with somebody who's your friend. Ohev is a friend, a beloved one, to help unload his donkey. Vasone Lito, and Sone is a hater, to hate,
and it refers to the enemy, as we saw in the pasuk earlier. And your enemy litton, to help load. So what should you do? What is the preference? What is the preferred mitzvah to do? Should you help your friend or help your enemy? So the Gemara says, mitzvah besone. There's more of a mitzvah to help the sone, to help the to help the enemy. That takes precedence. Why? Kedei lokuf es yitzro, in order to subdue his yitzhara, to overcome the hatred that he has towards him, because this hatred is not a good thing to have. So by helping him, by helping this enemy, you're subduing that yitzhara, that impulse of hatred, and that takes precedence over prika, to the friend. So that's the rule of the braisa. So says the Gemara, v'isal kadaitach, and if you hold, if it goes up into your mind that tzar ba'alei chaim is the raisa, that tzar ba'alei chaim is the raisa, so ha'odifle, behold, that should be more preferable to him. Even though it's a wonderful thing to subdue the yetzahara, but in the face of a deraisa concept, deraisa mitzvah chiyuv of tzar ba'alei chaim, that should be the preferred mitzvah to do. The answer is, afilu hochi, even so, kedei lokuf es yitzro odif. In order to subdue the yetzahara, it is more odif, it is preferred. It turns out that it really is better to do this rather than helping the animal be relieved of its suffering, even though that's the raisa. The Minchas Chinuch suggests a possible reason. The Minchas Chinuch is the commentary on the Sefer Chinuch, and he says that the possible reasons to why this is even more important than Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is that we find that in certain cases a person is permitted to actively cause suffering to animals for his own benefit, for his own welfare. For example, you're allowed to kill an animal for the hide. So it stands to reason then that he may at least refrain from alleviating an animal's suffering if by doing this he will gain the opportunity to subdue his feelings of hatred and thereby improve his character. So this is the logic as to why, even in the face of Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, the great importance of subduing one's evil inclination, hatred towards a fellow Jew, is preferable. So the Gemara continues and brings another proof that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is not the Raisa. Toshma, come in here. Sone Sha'omru, Sone Yisrael, Velo Sone Ovikachovim. The Raisa says that the Sone of the Pasuk that they spoke about, that the rabbis have spoken about in that Pasuk, the enemy of the Pasuk is a Sone Yisrael, refers to a Sone Yisrael. It was that Pasuk which we read before, the mitzvah of Prika, to help a Sone, an enemy, unload his load. That's discussing a Sone Yisrael. The Lo Sone of Ikochavim, but it's not discussing a Sone of Ikochavim, a non-Jewish or an idolatrous enemy. So says the Gemara, Yomra Tzar Ba'alei Chaim Deraisa, if you say that Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is Deraisa, Mali Sone Yisrael, Mali Sone Ovi Kochavim. What difference does it make to me if it's a Jewish enemy or an idolatrous enemy? Again, Tzar Ba'alei Chaim should trump it all. The Gemara quickly responds, is no. Mi Sovrat, do you hold a Sone Dekra Koi? About, Aleph prefix on or about the Sone, the enemy, Dekra of the verse Koi? The Braisa is referring to, Asone de Mastisin Koi. It's about the Sone, the enemy of that Braisa, of our Braisa, the previously quoted Braisa, they're referring to. They're not talking about the Sone of the Pasuk. They're talking about the Sone, the enemy of in the previous Braisa. So the Braisa says here, Sone Shomer, the enemy which they spoke about, the rabbi spoke about, in that previous Braisa, which we just read, is referring to a Sone Yisrael, to a Jewish enemy, but not to an enemy who's not Jewish. Rashi explains, Sone Sha'amru, Kasalka Daitach, this is Rashi going back to the beginning of when the Gemara first quoted this, Sone Sha'amru, the enemy which they said, Kasalka Daitach, which means the Gemara is thinking right now, Sone Sha'amru, Asone Dekra. The Sone Sha'amru, the enemy that they said, that they spoke about, is asone dekra, about the sone, the enemy of the verse, koi, referring to. The mishtoi beprika, which is speaking about, mishtoi means speaking about, the mishtoi that it's speaking about beprika, ki sira chamor sunacha, when you see the donkey of your enemy, rovates crouching, the goma, etc. And the Gemara says, no, the Gemara is not talking, the Brisa is not talking about that sone of the verse, as sone de masnisen. It's about the sone, the enemy of our mish, of our Brisa, the previous quoted Brisa koi. Ahach masnisa, Rashi says, on that Brisa, the le'el, above, the sone liton hu, of the enemy liton, to help load up, it is. Where the Brisa was speaking about, where you had that choice between helping your friend unload, or helping your enemy load up his animal. So that's what this Brisa presently is talking about. That Brisa, where it says that you have to help the enemy load his animal in preference to helping your friend unload, that Brisa is talking about where the sone is a Jew but not an idol worshipper. You only that preference only applies to a sone who's Jewish, who is if it's an sone who's an idol worshipper, there would be no obligation there. So this price presently has nothing to do with Sabba L'chaim, and therefore you can't bring a proof from it.